How you doing? You good?
I'm good, thank you very much. How are you?
All right. I'm okay.
Good.
Spring has
Good.
sprung.
Oh, that's a good shout. That's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I say summer's on the way. That also means we're going to have scorching hot temperatures again, and we can all start worrying about more climate change. So, you know.
Oh, there is that. But we have spring on the way with new life
Yes.
and things growing in the ground, and it's all very lovely.
Yeah.
We had some exciting news this week because our Instagram account passed 1,000 followers, which
Yes.
you messaged me
Hello.
about the other day, didn't you? And
I
said,
did.
"We're nearly 1,000." I was like, that is quite incredible. It'd be
Yeah.
nice if all 1,000 listened,
Yeah.
but we're still very grateful.
And even then, you'd only get 999.
Oh yeah, because you don't count, because you don't listen. Do Tonight's guest is an American. Going back over the water of the Atlantic,
Well, okay.
and he is the host of a new cookery competition, which
Okay.
is going to start airing on YouTube on April the 20th, and it's called Top Vegan. And you can find it
Okay.
at Top Vegan TV. And it is a competition where they basically, it seems a bit like MasterChef,
Okay.
if you like, but they've got eight contestants cooking vegan meals.
Fantastic. Sounds like a
And
plan.
it's hosted by Chad Goodwin, who is our guest today, who runs the Fourth and State Vegan Diner in Columbus, Ohio,
Ah.
which you can find at 152 East State Street. There we go, for all our
Should you
Columbus
find
listeners.
yourself in Columbus at any
Should
point?
you find yourself in Columbus? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, looking forward to him joining us.
That'll be good. Yeah.
And I think I can say this because we will have, by the time this episode comes out, we will have recorded it. But we are going to be guests on another podcast,
Yes, we
which I
are.
find very exciting.
Yes.
Somebody else actually wants to speak to us instead of us talking into
Yeah.
space.
Somebody actually wants to speak to us. What are they even thinking?
I know. So, back in January, February, we had Michelle on from Veg Your Best, and she has asked us to return the favor. So we're going to be recording that in a couple of weeks,
Cool.
and it will be released shortly afterwards. So that's very exciting.
Yeah. Wow. Scary
We'll have to
stuff.
th we'll have, we've got to think of something to say now because we can't just rely on all our usual questions, can we?
No. Or this bit where with, this bit that is obviously
Or the
scripted.
waffle. The scripted bit. I remember you saying that from the last
Yeah, this scripted bit where we haven't got a clue what we're going to talk about, is
Yeah.
great. Yeah.
Yeah, you might not know, listener, but we don't actually plan this bit. We just dial in and start talking.
Yeah.
I know it sounds really smooth and polished, but it is just literally off the cuff.
Yeah. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought we could sound this slick?
Yeah,
Sorry, I meant
but
shit. I meant shit, not slick.
okay. Well, in an attempt to be slick, I'll just say if you like what you hear, then please like, review, and subscribe, as we've started saying suddenly.
Yeah.
And also come and find us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter,
All the others.
Facebook. Yeah, join our Facebook tribe. There's a link in our Instagram bio that will take you everywhere that you need to go. And you can still sponsor Emily, our previous guest, who is running the London Marathon, or
Yeah.
by the time you listen to this, has run the London Marathon. Either
Yes.
way, you can sponsor her and help raise some money for WaterAid.
Absolutely.
Would be really cool.
And if you want to get in touch and you want to perhaps come on as a guest, or you have any questions, comments, concerns, then you can send us an email at howiveganpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Splendid.
Let's go meet our guest.
Okay, so our guest today is a vegan restaurateur. Is that the right pronunciation? Restaurateur?
I think that's pretty.
Would you say
on.
Restaurateur? Yeah. Okay, good. At the Fourth and State restaurant, vegan diner in Columbus, Ohio. And is the host of a brand new vegan cooking competition show, which is going to be streaming from April 20th on YouTube. The show is called Top Vegan, and our guest is Chad. Welcome, Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show. So Top Vegan, then. I've been watching the trailers and the teasers that you've been putting on Instagram and YouTube. What's the background to that? How's that all come about?
So that has been a pretty, you know, my most recent project. Essentially the last year and a half has been centered around getting this launched. I'm a big fan of all of Gordon Ramsay's content. I've been a vegan for 7 years, restaurant owner for about six. I had a smaller fast food style restaurant near a local college, and I actually sold out of that and used those funds to put into this new venture, Top Vegan, where, yeah, you know, I just saw a gap in the market for you have all these reality and cooking competition shows, which I really love. I love to learn from, I love to watch people cook and, you know, of course, pick up on a few things or get inspired by the dishes. But I am not a fan of the meat portion of everything. And they'll have a token vegan or vegetarian challenge here or there. But I figured just like with vegan restaurants, you know, they're getting that more options out there, whether it be for people eating out or on the shelves, or in this case, you know, trying to produce some form of compelling content that will hopefully elevate the culture or increase accessibility or interest. You know, those are the overarching goals. But at the baseline, yeah, the last year and a half, I really wanted to make a TV show, and we tried our best to pull it off.
And YouTube's a pretty good platform to do that as well, isn't it? You haven't got any rules to get past, like with over here, like with the BBC or anything like that. Just
absolutely. Pretty much do what you want. The barrier of entry is you start an account and you have an email and you have content, rather than, you know, if we were solely trying to use methods from 10, 15, 25 years ago of trying to approach agencies and get funding from traditional venture capitalists or entertainment investors, the barriers to entry are staggering. And you know, of course, it would be cool to get distribution from Hulu or Netflix in the future or something like that, or get pulled to a food network or something similar. But when you're starting out and you're just trying to validate some early business hypothesis of, if I put this out there and it's on a platform where as many people can view it as possible, it's free. You don't have to have an account to view things. If we reduce as many barriers to just watching the show, can we get a big enough audience or an engaged enough audience to prove to maybe some of those either traditional structures of entertainment distribution in the future, or can we create ancillary business models around this to help keep sustaining ourselves and, you know, keep doing it on YouTube our way, self-funded, like the first season. But, you know, it's really all about getting the product out there first.
Yeah, you got to prove the concept, haven't you, that it is popular and it's got legs, and then someone will take a chance on it, hopefully. That would be awesome. Absolutely.
Or it shows you that it's got enough legs that I'm willing to get deeper into it, you know, and you know, keep pouring more. But yeah, the first step is, does it have legs? Do people find it interesting? Can, you know, is there a natural path for growth?
Okay, so you've got 8 contestants. What was the sort of selection process for them? How did you find your contestants?
So I had put out an ad on, you know, various social media platforms, shared it a lot on Facebook and relevant vegan-centered food groups. I reached out to a handful of people locally that I thought may be good for the competition. But really, everybody came from seeing our post up on Instagram or Facebook or having a friend tag them in the comments or send it their way. We got an influx of applications and we read through them. People submitted food photos with descriptions. They filled out, a submission form that gave us a little bit more insight into their background, their career. Are they a home chef? Do they do this professionally? Do they want to do it professionally? You know, what would make them a great contestant? You know, why are they applying? And we kind of, you know, went through all of those different parameters around the applications and kind of found the best 8 that culminated in really stunning food dishes, as well as, a very relatable motivation. You know, they put effort into their applications. You know, it's not just somebody tagging 3 food photos and saying, yeah, I'd really like $10,000 in business mentorship. See you in July, buddy. A lot of these people are a mother of 2 that's been cooking at home as a home chef for 25 years, making everything for her family before, you know, veganism had gone mainstream enough to hit shelves. 1 contestant coming from a health perspective after going vegan, being diagnosed with lupus, now trying to share some of her helpful tips and, show that veganism can be delicious and nutritious and, you know, kind of a preventative measure for medical ailments or relief for some that you may be experiencing. Just a vast array, or professionals that have a restaurant or have a small pop-up that are looking to, you know, take themselves to the next level and showcase their skills, maybe get some business mentorship, or, you know, if they end up winning $10,000, can certainly help them in their personal or professional ventures. Just trying to find great people that were passionate and competent and that we thought we could bank on. And I think we found them. The cast for the first season was awesome.
Fantastic. That could be a great springboard for somebody's career, couldn't it? Sort of not only the money, but also, like you say, the mentorship to help get set up if they wanted to set up a restaurant or a business. That's fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, and hopefully, even the few that didn't win the biggest prize, the goal is, you know, can this help them grow their network? Or if they've got a side business or a side hustle or catering, you know, can this be a platform for them to, you know, even if they don't get the $10,000, can they get a new client for their private chef business? Can they get a new job now that they've got, you know, something more on their resume? Just, you know, do they come and do another pop-up with me somewhere to just keep them in the kitchen and doing something like that? You know, hopefully the opportunities, are plentiful. And that's part of the reason I'm so excited, is once you get to know the contestants, you really get invested in their long-term success and wellness.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
So what are the formats of the episode then? The sort of, here's a recipe, who can make the best one, or what's the situation?
So there are 6 episodes, and for the first few episodes, we really tried to challenge some of the major stereotypes around veganism, but not from a confrontational way. But the first episode is classic American. You know, both of my restaurants, one was fast food. Now I'm doing a traditional greasy spoon breakfast diner type of place. that's where my experiences come from. A lot of people in America assume that if they go vegan, they've got to give up a lot of their favorite foods, whether it be hamburgers, hot dogs, steak, eggs, you know, ice cream, whatever their perception is of, I have to give this up in order to eat more plant-based foods. The first challenge is, how can we create a classic American dish that's all plant-based, all vegan, that anyone could love? You know, anyone could identify and really enjoy. And the guest chef was an executive chef for a American pub style restaurant locally, who happened to be eating more vegan personally, but professionally still cooks every day with meat products. So he had an interesting perspective of knowing what the status quo is for American fare, but he's also developing a taste for plant-based food. So, you know, he's not going to be off put by oyster mushrooms or a block of tempeh or anything like that. But, you know, then we follow that up with an international episode, the international roots of plant-based diets. The third episode is, where do you get your protein? Then we do desserts and then we take a trip to my restaurant where they work the line in my restaurant on a busy brunch during a busy brunch service. And the final episode is a business pitch where they create a dish to embody a vegan business that they think would, again, elevate the culture, increase accessibility, alter perceptions. You know, we want to transcend what people, what the outside thinks of what vegan or plant-based is. There's so many connotations and stereotypes around it. How can we make food or a business model that transcends those things and is widely accepted and enamored by people, regardless of, you know, the fact that it's made from plants.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant.
That's really good, man.
Yeah. So you mentioned your restaurant there. That's Fourth and State. What's the story there? How long have you been running that?
So we've been running this for about 3 years. I opened this with my family. After I'd opened my first restaurant in 2017, Eden Burger, small burger, fry, milkshake, fast food with a couple of friends. And, you know, as I wanted to increase the menu and, you know, I always just seem to want to do more and, you know, and just get my ideas out of my head. And I'd really wanted to do a diner, you know, and something on that IHOP, Waffle House, you know, very popular American breakfast chains. You know, there wasn't a vegan pancake in our city, and I had to change that. It just wasn't right. So yeah, we opened up just before COVID, the pandemic.
Oh.
So we had a little bit of a choppy start. But later in about September 2020, we really started finding our footing. And it's been getting, you know, busier and busier, and, you know, the menu evolves and, you know, even the things that are still on the menu continue to get better. And that's just exciting for me to see. You know, I didn't come from a robust culinary background at all. So I tend to get myself involved with businesses where I have little experience and I have to learn through just working it out. And trying to continue improving the restaurants and increasing food quality, consistency, and also just overall the restaurant experience for customers and employees. You know, it's a fun journey and you know, arduous and struggle, you know, it's a struggle sometimes, but yeah, there's a lot of reward to it as well. So, and getting to run it with my family, it's good, you know, it's just good that I get to spend a lot of time. My mom does all of our baked goods. She's not vegan, but has adapted all of her recipes and is now, you know, making all of our vegan baked goods. My sister has come in the last year and become our manager. She had a lot more experience in food service management than I. So bringing her on and now turning her into a little chef has been cool. She makes a killer tomato bisque now. It's been hot this winter, so it's a fun time down at Fourth and State.
I'm just wondering when we're going to go on a trip to Columbus.
We'll add it into our world tour.
Either that or I'll have to come do a pop-up near you guys. I'll have to bring my square pancakes your way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when we're selling out arenas and we go on our world tour, we'll definitely...
Hey, remember me when you guys get there. That's all I'm saying is remember we were coming up together right here on this podcast.
We'll never forget you, Chad. We'll never forget you. What's the vegan scene like in Columbus? You said that you were the first one to do vegan pancake, but what's the other choice, as in what are your competitors like, but you know, what's the scene like there?
I mean, it's growing. When I had opened my first restaurant in 2017, we were one of two brick and mortar vegan restaurants in the greater Columbus area. And now there are 6 or 8 or 10 brick and mortars, 5 food trucks, 6 pop-ups, a vegan grocery store that it's small, but, you know, holds a lot of pop-up events. We've a second vegan salon has just like all vegan salon hair care products, things like that. So, I don't think it's on any official top 10 lists in America, but Columbus is definitely turning itself into, you know, an incredibly vegan friendly city. We've definitely got a lot of that American style fast food. We've got a gluten-free raw restaurant. We're getting, an international brand, like a bar and cafe space that has a location in Australia and Miami. Just put one in Columbus in the last year. So the scene is definitely robust. And that's, and the grocery stores are definitely adding more options, which is great as a consumer. And of course, in the business sense, I love to compete, but at the same time, a rising tide lifts all boats in this case. So when other new vegan restaurants open all around the city, there, it really just increases the critical mass of people, looking for more options and wondering what other plant-based options are in the city. So
that's fantastic.
Hopefully in a couple of years we'll be on some top 10 most vegan friendly cities in America. I think we're only a few restaurants out, and I just worked a little bit harder, I think we could get there.
if only you were releasing like a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah.
So forgive my ignorance, but what's the population of Columbus then? How many what's the concentration of vegan restaurants to the number of people?
Oh man, you'll have to forgive my ignorance because I don't have those hard numbers on me. But I think the density of at least the greater downtown area is around 800,000. But we've got a couple, the surrounding neighborhoods certainly put it over 1 million in the greater Columbus area that will end up commuting to and from. So, 6 or 7 neighborhoods and then the downtown center having about 7 to 9 brick and mortar or recurring pop-up spots. It's not too bad for the moment.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of small businesses as well, smaller bakeries, smaller individuals selling to coffee shops, people who are doing pop-ups and local festivals and things like that. So it's definitely like ripe for all these businesses, which is, again, was an inspiration for making Top Vegan. I see so many of these people, starting new businesses. I myself went from making burgers in my college house with my friends and selling them to our friends and family to test out, to doing pop-ups, to having a brick and mortar. Seeing the startup process of so many vegan businesses, you know, it makes you want to contribute more to that. I've had employees that have gone on and started their own pop-ups or their own food service businesses. That's one of the best part of all those competition shows is sometimes you get to see someone get closer to achieving their dream or opening up a restaurant or talking more about their passions. That's inspiring. You know, I love business. I love seeing things grow from idea to product. Especially in the vegan space that I'm really passionate about, you know, having that confluence of interests. Columbus has been a great breeding ground for that.
So you said earlier that you went vegan 7 years ago.
Yes.
So what was the journey into that? What made you change?
So I had watched a documentary, like many people. I think Cowspiracy was the one that did it. My roommate, business partner that I had known through middle school and college, middle school, high school, college. We were kind of starting a litany of business ventures, just trying to find our way. You know, we had dropped out of college. We had all these ideas. None of them were really sticking. We always wanted to start a business that made a positive impact on the world. We just didn't know what that business model was going to be or what the product was going to be, because we didn't have any, you know, overwhelming skills in any area. We were just guys who would, you know, dream and work on stuff, you know, whatever it was, whatever that inspiration was. He watched it with his family one night and came and told me all about it. So then we watched it in our house that night. And we were, after that, it was like, okay, clean out the fridge. You know, just seeing the link between mass animal agriculture, which we had watched Food Inc. in college. And I think that's what really first tipped us off to really want to start eating more organic and higher quality food. But the meat and like poultry part of it didn't really click yet. You know, it just hadn't ever really been something that was on my radar. It's not like I was eating a lot of meat. I've really never cooked meat. I just eat hamburgers when I'd go out with my family on the weekends or whatever it was. After watching the documentary, we were like, wow, we failed at all these business ventures that we wanted to improve the world with. Why don't we just change what we eat and we can make our small impact there? And you know, that can just be square one for now. And that's kind of when, as we became more passionate about veganism and the positive effects it could have on people, on, of course, for animal welfare, but as well as the environment and global sustainability, our natural inclination to want to start a business kind of met with that. And it was, okay, well, what kind of business can we start to help make veganism mainstream? You know, veganism and plant-based diets are something we believe is a net positive for the world. How do we get that to permeate into popular culture and to the mainstream more? And at that time, the first thought was restaurants, because in 2016, the options weren't as plenty. The grocery stores weren't stacked with Beyond Meat and every, you know, type of faux cheese and meat and substitute and frozen pizza. You know, you can find all of that vegan at a grocery store now, whereas 7 years ago, it was just a little bit more scant, especially being in the Midwest in America, where it's, you know, very meat and potatoes, you know, Taco Tuesday, box taco meat night. Now certainly the accessibility has increased a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think Cowspiracy's got a lot to answer for, hasn't it? It's been, you know, of the episodes that we've done, I'd say maybe not quite half, but a lot of our guests have said that Cowspiracy's been the thing, and it certainly was for the two of us, wasn't it, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a great, had a great impact, let's say, on veganism. And like you say, it seems to be around that sort of time that's when things were available in shops more, and it was just far more moved into the mainstream. It's been great progress over the past few years. So since you went vegan, then what's been the biggest struggle that you've encountered?
I'd say the biggest struggle, probably, again, the connotations that, you know, at first it was accessibility and knowledge. And I, you know, when we decided to go vegan, before we even knew what the extent of all that was and how deep the rabbit hole went on what products you use, whether it's the food you eat or the clothes you wear, or, you know, whatever it is, everything has an ingredient list and, so of course, learning that and overcoming the initial disappointment of your family when you don't partake in the queso at your favorite Mexican restaurant, and everybody's, you know, dipping and having fun and ordering margaritas, and then they look at you just enjoying some salsa, still eating chips, still having the salsa, but, you know, there's this like queso cheese covenant where it's like, we're family, man. How could you not?
How could you turn your back on us?
How could you not dip with us, man? What? Who are you? And I, of course, some of your early friends will do the same, you know. So I'd say the hardest part has always been the when you first change and you've got to, you know, come out as vegan to all your friends and family, essentially, and, you know, create boundaries and seeing the queso heartbreak, that was tough. But, you know, the saving grace was the guys I was living in the house with, you know, my business partners and best friends at the time, we all went in together. So it was like, we cleaned out the fridge. We were all vegan now. We were doing the business ventures together. We had the vegan ideology together. So we had like a nice core where, you know, my buddy's parents making snide comments, or, you know, people getting disappointed or not having vegan options at Thanksgiving the first year.
Wow.
You know, you can always come back to the house, grab a pack of tempeh. Yes. And save the night, you know.
So
that was the saving grace. But yeah, the hardest part has been more so dealing with the personal social politics of, you know, now just eating plant-based. And, you know, luckily now, you know, a lot of the restaurants have vegan options that I go to with family. You know, most of my friends are from the restaurants at this point, so they're all mostly vegan, so we go places or cook with each other. But yeah, the hardest part of everything is usually the startup. But once you find your groove, I mean, it's been all vegan gravy since then. Just smooth sailing.
And you've got your family working in the restaurant with you as well.
Yeah. My mom does all of our baked goods. She serves as well when it's really busy, or, you know, if we've got servers that have called off, she comes in and helps. My sister is the manager. And again, though she wasn't vegan and, you know, definitely made fun of me the first Thanksgiving, you know, she loves our stuffed crust pizzas, and she loves our, you know, we make our chicken pretendies out of tempeh. I love tempeh. So we have like these little tempeh chicken tenders. And she loves those, you know, despite her dietary preference. The goal is to make food good enough that anybody can just enjoy it. And yeah, now having my family in there a lot, they definitely have of course, come around seeing the, I think in my first restaurant, my dad was like, shouldn't you just like have bacon on the menu? What if it was like, yeah, what if it was like, yeah, you're serving all these vegan burgers, but for $5, you can get it dirty with bacon. He just didn't see that there could be enough demand for something so new or so different or what seems so restrictive. But of course, after the success of the first restaurant, you know, he was instrumental in helping me like secure the loan to open Fourth and State. So he had seen the, you know, just the numbers and the demand for it. And of course, then it starts to permeate pop culture. You hear it on the radio, you hear about a celebrity that's vegan, and, you know, over a couple of years, it starts to seem more normal to the outsiders, I guess.
Yeah. And you think someone in Columbus who walks along the street and sees, you know, maybe not one street, but walks around and sees five or six different vegan restaurants, they're going to think, God, there must be something in this.
There's got to be something to it. If there are so many, you've got to, you know, and then they maybe stumble across an Instagram page, or they see a friend on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook that is going and eating something that looks really good at one of those restaurants. And, you know, trying to combat people on their ideology face to face, you know, that never works when you're trying to convince someone to change their diet or even just to try something. You know, I hate trying to tell people how they should live their life. I'd rather just provide the option, you know, provide the grilled cheese, provide the pancake, provide the pizza. And if they've got an open mind, they can come and try it and see for themselves and work it in however they want to do it. But, you know, seeing all those small ancillary things around you in your social circle definitely help validate for people. So, definitely the people of Columbus, I think, are definitely getting a bit hip to it. We get a lot of people in the restaurant that aren't vegan, but they've got a vegan friend, or, you know, some people just walk in off the street and they're like, well, you know, a burger's a burger. Beyond meat or whatever, you know, ground chuck, I'm here for a great burger, and that's what we try to give them.
Yep, that's it. One of our previous guests said that vegans so often are the ones who choose the restaurant because they're the ones who've got to make sure that there's something that they'll eat. And if you've got vegan restaurants, then the chances are, you know, you're going to get people in there who aren't vegans but are just going because they've got a vegan friend, like you said, or a vegan member of their family,
and that's somebody's birthday and they
that's it,
the restaurant, you know,
exactly,
or whatever it is,
that's it. And that's when you get that sort of wow factor of going in somewhere and going, oh my God, this is actual real food, it's not just a plate of grass.
So a lot of people will look at the menu like they're looking for something to jump out at them, but they're like, okay, pancakes, French toast, okay, an omelet. This all seems normal. And then they flip it over and they're like, okay, potato skins, burgers, pizza. You know, it's nothing so foreign. Everybody's expecting raw kale and quinoa bowl with rainbow veggie, you know, and beet salad, which again are good, delicious in their own right. But when trying to normalize and, try to be more so like a bridge, you know, our restaurant, I feel like, is more of like bridge cuisine of, it's not the absolute healthiest, you know, we do use, you know, Beyond Meat and faux meat products, and it's supposed to be a diner. But for people that are trying not to give up some of their favorite flavor profiles and the things that remind them of being a kid, or just that they eat a lot. You know, when you're making a dietary change, the first step should just be make slightly better substitutions with the things you like, rather than going complete 180 with all these dishes and foods you've never heard of. So you know, it makes it a safe space for them to try out the plant base. They can have a burger, get in, get out, and not feel too weird about it.
Hey.
All right.
Thank you for coming back.
He came back. Yay.
I'd never leave.
It hasn't happened yet, Touchwood, but we do always worry when we have to have the break in the middle. We always worry that the guest is going to go, nah.
always the risk of an intermission.
Yes.
I think that's why movies stopped. They were like, we got to get these people to stay till the end.
That's a good shout.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. That's a good shout. Yeah, but they're so long now. They need intermissions, don't they?
That maybe could bring people back. I always could use a few minutes to go get a refill on popcorn or Sour Patch Kids. So I've always been a fan of the intermission. And I'm always willing to go back, even if I'm not impressed with the first half. I'm always down to see it through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's like over there, but here it's so expensive to go and see a film.
It's an investment. At the cinema. Yeah,
you've got to get your money's worth.
I'm getting my next 47 minutes out of this. Yes. I have to.
Oh, man.
Talking of movies, this is a bit of a tangent, but it was the Oscars this week, and I saw Michelle Yeoh won Best Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is something Wes had told me about a few weeks ago. We watched it earlier this week. That is a bonkers film. But
crack, isn't it?
I enjoyed it, but it was absolutely nuts, wasn't it?
I loved it. I loved everything about it. I laughed. I cried.
Yeah.
When they're the rocks.
Oh my God.
That got me.
Yeah.
I was so bought in at that point because I went in knowing nothing about the film. All I'd heard like the first week or two that it was in theaters that you know, it was just a very unique filmmaking or experience or viewing experience. Yes. So I went in relatively of course raw to it, which I, you know, now I really enjoy going into movies like that. Now the less I know, the more I can be surprised and enthralled.
Yes.
And of course the visual effects were stunning. The plot line, the emotional heartstrings of the movie, the story about, you know, just a family trying to come together and show appreciation and enjoy the present, even when it's hard. It was a really thoughtful story and a really fun and engaging way to unpack all that emotional goodness.
Yeah. And hot dog fingers.
And that was genius. I mean, and the comedy aspect, you know, that's when you know a movie is hitting on all cylinders, where you get every piece of emotion that you get in everyday life. You know, you get a sample of it all, and it really takes you on a ride. But yeah, those hot dog fingers, that love story, Jamie Lee Curtis also, I think she had pulled in an award for that performance. She played a good antagonist for sure. Great to see such a unique movie pull in so many critically acclaimed award. Hopefully that entices more filmmakers to really put themselves out on a limb.
Definitely.
Yeah, the writing process for that must have been hilarious, because it must have just been like, right, now what? Hot dog fingers. Yeah, go on. Now what?
Yeah.
Let's just have rocks and no sound. Yeah, now what?
Always upping the ante.
Hilarious.
So, Chad, where do you get your protein and other nutrients from?
Well, you'll find out episode 3 of Top Vegan.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, tempeh was my first love when I went vegan. That first summer that I had gone vegan and I knew so little about it, I think I ate tempeh nachos every single afternoon for like my big meal. Because it was cost effective and I was broke. But again, because, you know, it was just easy to cook and, you know, easy to season, flavor, you can kind of manipulate it with whatever, you know, you put on it. It just fits. But yeah, I love protein from tempeh. Tofu, I'm not as big of a fan on. I'm like a, you know, I'm one of the rare vegans that thinks tofu was appointed too early. Tofu as the face of our movement, it was too early. We needed to flesh some things out.
Wasn't ready.
But yeah, I love tempeh, nuts, mushrooms, spinach. You know, I'll definitely dabble with some vital wheat gluten seitan recipes. But yeah, I'd say most days of the week, you know, tempeh is the base to so many of my faux meat dishes. Yeah, that's for sure my favorite. What about you guys? What are your top rankings for protein sources or your favorite?
I have no idea. I just eat whatever's in front of me.
Now that's a good.
Just
now
eat,
that will
just give me food.
I love it. That's pretty much the mindset I get to once the plate hits the table. Favorites go out the door. Once I get a waft of whatever it is, absolutely, it's just primal. I need to get this in my body now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm getting virtually everything I need to get, except I don't eat enough green leafy vegetables. And that's kind of my downfall. So I am trying to work on that, but it's green leafy vegetables are a bit boring. When you've got a cheeseburger in front of you,
you just got to put more lettuce on the top and really squish that bun down. Or, you know, if you use spinach, just cook it a little bit, and a bag this size will reduce.
Yeah, yeah, a little teaspoon
with it. Just a perfect topping for your single patty burger. You know, you get your entire day of iron as well. But yeah, yes, leafy greens.
That's it.
It can definitely be hard to get. I wasn't crazy diet conscientious or health food oriented before I went vegan. And, you know, so much of making it easier on myself was just finding the substitutes to all my favorite foods and the things that I was already eating. And I still do that. You know, it's just I'm cooking a lot more from scratch now rather than trying to buy as many, you know, frozen replacements or boxed replacements early on. But yeah, leafy greens, it's hard. I've been trying to incorporate some more kale. Sometimes I'll crisp up some kale in the air fryer or the oven, garnish it on something or put it into like a hearty vegetable bowl with some cashew ricotta or something like that. You know, you want to get the leafy greens in, but I try to make them not as leafy and green
first. This is ridiculous. But I've already had my dinner. I'm starving.
But kale is quite a strong taste, isn't it? It can be quite, I don't know.
It can be
bitter,
pungent.
Yeah,
a little bitter. And definitely if you don't cook it, the bounce back, the texture, it can be a mouthful for sure.
Although having said that, I do have it in a smoothie in the morning. So with some, normally I have sort of that with chia seeds and flaxseed and some oat milk. And I haven't
a great way
died
to get
from
it all.
Protein deficiency yet. So should be all right.
Yeah, you know, I'm still in the gym moving weight around, so I don't think I don't find myself lacking too much.
No, we're doing all right, aren't we? We're doing all right. So for you then, what's the best thing about being vegan?
The best thing about being vegan, I guess. For me, what was the best thing is it, you know, it gave me a relief, you know, when you feel like the world is burning around you and there's nothing you can do. Veganism has given me you know, just another level of conscientiousness to where the singular decisions we make every day, though they don't change the world in their own right and move mountains, you know, I've found a lot of relief in just doing things and acting aligned with my morals. And, you know, with if I care about the well-being of the planet, and I've always loved animals, and, you know, I do want my body to be, you know, again, I'm not the poster child for health foods, but I do love to work out, and I do want to be alive for a pretty long time. So health and wellness and fueling your body properly is important. So, you know, veganism and a plant-based diet was an easy way to wrap a lot of those feelings into one succinct ideology of, you know, I'm just going to eat plants and I'm going to feel better knowing that, you know, I'm doing what's right for the animals that I think are so cute and, you know, deserve to live a long, happy life. I'm making, you know, sometimes better choices, healthy, you know, sometimes I will throw that leafy green into a smoothie and I'll feel better about that. But, you know, I definitely say again, for me and for where I was at in life and, you know, what I think my life goals are, you know, it's just great to feel good that, you know, I feel like I'm at least doing something that's a net positive for the world, even if it's not, you know, the best and most ultimate and most efficient that it possibly could be. More plants is better, you know.
Yeah.
Period. You know, so it just being aligned with that. But, you know, it also has just gotten me a lot more into food rather than, you know, I definitely did my time as a mindless consumer and, you know, just iron stomach eating whatever. Whereas, you know, sometimes having to cook for yourself and read ingredient, like every ingredient label at the grocery store, which is a new skill. I can read an ingredient 100%. List and identify bad things and split second timing, like just a quick scan real quick and something will go off.
That's an episode idea for season two. Who can check a ingredients list?
We filled the pantry with ingredients list and you gotta get out everything that's not vegan. You've got 5 minutes.
That's it.
But yeah, aside from that incredibly useful skill, you know, just changing the relationship that I had with food, which was just very much, you know, eat for comfort and stress. And, you know, even though sometimes I still do those, you know, I just make a lot more of that food now and I cook it. And, you know, it just changed my interest level in food and food sources and just like the science of food and plants.
So on that subject then, what's your favorite vegan product at the moment?
Oh, my favorite vegan product, Light Life Original Tempeh.
There's a pattern emerging here.
Light Life, they need to email me back because we could do some special, things together. I cook like 10,000 pounds of Just Egg a year. Wow. You know, I work with that, you know, an incredible amount. I think I've cooked more than some of their scientists at the labs. I think I'm an expert level Just Egg like cook right now. They also need to email me back. But you know, other than that, you know, it's good to see the bigger companies signing a lot of, you know, you've got Beyond Meat and Impossible getting distribution with a lot of restaurants and a lot of major chains. I really enjoy, you know, seeing more options permeate into major distribution channels. So yeah, I think, but my favorite product, Light Life Tempeh, all day. I'm a tempeh guy. I'm a fermented soybean guy. I don't know what it is.
That's amazing.
What about you guys? Any favorites?
Oh God. Now we're on
I know there was just like a the world food, like plant food expo. I had just seen that on Instagram where all the like the latest vegan food products and brands are being unveiled at some large expo. So I don't know if I didn't know if you guys had seen it and caught the glimpse of the future plants or what are your favorites?
Not yet.
I'm a bit of a fan. Do you get Oomph over there? OOMPH, Oomph. It's like a soy protein, like kebab meat type thing.
I don't think so. I don't think I've seen that brand.
I like making kebabs out of that stuff. It's just incredible.
It's awesome, stuff. Yeah.
You said it was a soybean product?
It's soy protein. They do it in like little finger sticks, or they've started doing a pea protein one that's more like your like doner kebab.
Like a doner kebab, yeah.
Okay, wow.
They're just incredible. That's really good. Bang it in the naan bread and a bit of leafy greens, and then you're all like all over there it. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, I've got a pair of Adidas trainers that are made from mushroom leather.
Wow.
And they're incredible. The Stan Smith design, but they're vegan ones. And wow. I've had them about a year and a half, and I absolutely love them. Food-wise, there is, in our local supermarket, I'm not sure if they're everywhere, but certainly in ours, I've not seen them anywhere else, but I'm just trying to find the brand, but it's like a Mars bar, but vegan.
Oh, wow.
It tastes incredible.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible.
I think I just saw they had Reese's has released a vegan Reese's cup. Hershey has released like a vegan bar of some sort, which man, is that dangerous for me. That's the only reason I was able to stop eating candy is because I was like, can't have a Twix bar anymore. That's off the table. But now it's going to get dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good for the waistline, is it? Or the pocket?
No, not in that case. But, you know, still great for the animals. So if I've got to make that sacrifice.
Yep, it's definitely worth it.
I'll dive on that chocolate nougat grenade.
Yes, so I've just found it here. So it's the company's called Buttermilk. And it's a caramel nougat chocky bar. And it's
those are some very hot words right there. There are neurons firing deep in my brain right now.
Yeah, I promise I'm not trying to flirt with you, but
God, you two get a room, Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's it's incredible. I'm not sure if the brand of vegan, but that one's definitely vegan. So it's
Wow, sounds delicious. Mm. Might have to order a case of those online if you can.
Yeah, they do a Snickers one as well called Peanut Nougat Chocky Bar.
Wow.
And a Honeycomb Blast as well, which is like the crunchy. I don't know if you have that over there. Is it Cadbury who do crunchy, or is that Mars?
We have a crunch bar.
It's like honeycomb on the inside with chocolate around the outside.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, yeah.
The technology.
That's my favorite at the minute. Yeah. Yes. So, Chad, what advice would you give to anyone who's thinking about going vegan?
I would advise them to, look, find what their favorite foods are, and whether they look up some recipes for it to make at home, or if they just Google search vegan pizza near me.
That's a good show.
Just keep an open mind, try some things. Don't get too stressed out about it to the point that you want to quit. I mean, you know, so many people try to make such huge lifestyle changes. And, you know, they move too many things too fast, or they don't find the right substitutes, or they don't take sustainable actions. And it can be very overwhelming, and it, you know, causes a lot of people to fall off, you know, whether it's vegan or any major lifestyle change. You know, those are the things that make it harder on yourself. So, you know, starting small, whether it's a meal a day or a meal a week, or, you know, just going out with some friends and trying something new. You know, those are all good first steps. I mean, if you're already all in and you've decided this is what I'm doing from this point on, there's never been an easier time. You can go to the grocery store, any recipe you could want, you can find online. And, you know, vegan options are popping up in all vegan restaurants, and, you know, non-vegan chains are implementing more plant-based options. So there's a lot out there to try in an accessible way. So just, you know, find what works for you.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. Someone said to me the other day, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And
yeah,
I think there's a lot of pressure that people feel like, right, I've gone vegan, I've got to do everything straight away. And all right, in some cases that's, you can do that, but in other ways you can't, you shouldn't expect to be able to do that. So don't give up, basically. Be prepared to fail and just put it down to experience. You know, I spent 6 months having sweeteners in my coffee at work because I thought it was healthier than sugar, and then discovered that they had milk added to them, and I had no idea. I just thought they're sweeteners. Why would you think that they've got milk in?
And that right there, that phrase is something that anybody who's going vegan is going to be asking a lot.
Why is this got milk in it?
How? Where? It's a dry product.
Yes.
How can there be?
Exactly. I don't know if it's any different over there, but salt and vinegar crisps over here. There's so many back ranges of salt and vinegar crisps. It's potato, salt, and vinegar, and they put milk in it. I don't want milk on my crisp. That's the weirdest combination in the world.
It's befuddling.
Crazy. Oh, yes. That's a good
write that down.
Befuddling. That's our episode title right there.
So who's your vegan inspiration, Chad?
My vegan inspiration. Well, I'd say, you know, it's some of those big companies are some of the inspiration right now. You know, Beyond Meat having such a huge impact. There are, you know, now Michelin star restaurants in New York City that have gone all plant-based. You know, there's definitely a few actors. Joaquin Phoenix, you know, he's a great, you know, ambassador of the plant-based. Natalie Portman, loved her in Star Wars. Love that she eats plants. And she was great on Saturday Night Live the few times she was on there. So she's got a sense of humor too. Okay. So, I think, you know, some of my vegan inspirations, you know, came locally as well, just seeing other people in the scene. Or, you know, now I'd say it's the top vegan competitors. You know, they inspired me, and, you know, just doing the show with them makes me want to do it again. And hopefully, you know, ideally the show helps start a lot of career paths for future vegan inspirations, as well as businesses that can go on to leave a big impact and a net positive on the world. So definitely on the smaller scale, that's been my most recent inspiration. But on a macro level, just seeing all these companies that seem to start around that 2015, 2016, now reaching global distribution and you know, Just Egg, you know, really like, you've got this huge egg pricing crisis on the one hand, and now plant-based egg substitutes are, you know, in some cases the same price or less than a carton of 12. Where a few years ago, the price difference was so, you know, a lot of the stipulations or reservations people have with going vegan is, you know, sometimes the products are more expensive or you have to buy so many more things. But now some of these big companies are, you know, reducing their cost through, you know, hopefully efficient and productive business measures. But yeah, you know, just seeing things, you know, my dream was to always start a restaurant that could sell things at the same price as McDonald's. You know, have people have two options, same price, one is plant-based, one is not. You know, my thought is now we're getting to the point where people are going to be more willing to try the $1.99 vegan single with cheeseburger. Because maybe they're seeing more of those things about, you know, the detrimental effects of a lot of meat and dairy consumption. And but yeah, just seeing the accessibility from these large companies, it's inspiring.
And that's something that people often beat veganism over the head with is, oh, but it's so expensive. But if you can do it, if you can get the same thing, like our milk now for us, like oat milk is in our Tesco is about the same price as the same amount of cow milk. So you know, that's hopefully going
to
help.
That sort of plane of arguments, you know, starts to reduce and, you know, then you get into to more of the, you know, sustainability, ethical practice, you know, just fighting the battle on different fronts rather than having to try to convince people to spend more money on the product. But yeah, again, if they have the option and it's just as accessible, why wouldn't they try or you know, why wouldn't it be a comparable substitute if they don't have to bend over backwards, but it's in the same cold refrigerated section at the grocery store and it's $2.99. Well, some extra creamy oat milk sounds great.
I'm tempted by this. I'm tempted by this 150 burger. I might have 10.
Exactly, and you know, and hopefully that's what everybody's going to be thinking. Absolutely. But yeah, we just got to get there first.
Yeah, man.
So, do you have hope for the future?
I do, and I don't. You know, I think if I didn't, I would just stop. You know, but, you know, I think I do because I want to be, you know, somebody who makes some level of change and helps other people do the same. So, I always think if I'm in the game and there's time on the clock, I've seen bigger comebacks, you know, I've played a lot of pickup basketball and I've been down bad before. And I've definitely had times where we fought back and came back when everybody thought we were done. Everybody was ready to leave the park. And I was like, no, we're winning this one now. So that's what keeps me going. That kind of mindset is, hey, if we're still here and we can still make decisions, let's try to make some good ones and spread some positivity.
Yeah, man. That's beautiful.
I love that. That's brilliant. Chad, thank you so much. That's been really, really great to chat with you. And we can't wait for Top Vegan to be streaming on YouTube on the 20th of April. And we'll look forward to seeing all the twists and turns of the series. And maybe at the end of it, you can point the winner in our direction and we'll have them on to have a chat.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a beautiful segue.
I would love to. And yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on and chatting it up with me. Wonderful discussion. And yeah, I'd love to talk again. And whether it's for a recording or not, hopefully we'll make it out to each other's neighborhoods at some point. We can enjoy some nice vegan fare together. But yeah, when Top Vegan drops in April, once the winner discovers who the top vegan is, I'll send them to you guys first.
So that was amazing, and I didn't correct anybody on the show. I can't actually remember because I'm a bit stupid what the number was quoted, but the population of Columbus, Ohio,
yep,
is 906,528 as of 2021. In comparison, Cleveland, Ohio, is 367,000, and Cincinnati is 308,000. So Columbus,
wow,
is pretty big, and it's nearly, yeah, a million people. And it's slap bang in the middle of Ohio as well, for those people who like their geography.
Okay, so even with nearly a million inhabitants, having six or seven vegan restaurants plus all the other, I mean, yeah, that's equivalent to Manchester, really, isn't it?
Well,
Manchester's
just over a million, that, I think. I was just thinking that. Let's have a quick Google. Population of Manchester, UK. Let's at least
Manchester.
Do that. Manchester. Is 500,000.
No way. Is that all?
Manchester as of 2019, 500,000. Birmingham.
What about Greater Manchester? Because I know that includes a lot of the sort of towns that are on the periphery, doesn't it?
Oh, okay. Let's do... Okay, that changes things a little bit. You can edit that. Population of Greater Manchester, 2.8 million.
Wow. Okay. So that includes the city of Salford, and that'll be Stockport and...
Yeah, yeah.
Bolton, probably, and...
Yep.
Where else?
Tameside.
Yes.
Oldham.
Rochdale, Oldham.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. That's quite a
Wigan.
Quite a lot then, isn't it? Yeah. Oh wow, that far out as well.
I think Wigan. Warrington isn't, because Warrington's Cheshire. I think Wigan comes under it. But yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's quite, yeah. So a little bit smaller than that. Birmingham's like 2 million or something.
Mm.
So yeah, quite a big place. And to have, you know, like what if Manchester's got probably again like 10 to 15 vegan restaurants.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, pretty good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we found out some geography information there today.
There you go. I'm going to go and buy a pink hat.
That's very visual. So, listener, if you've not worked it out, Chad was wearing a pink hat, and you need to go and check out Top Vegan TV on Instagram, all one word.
Yeah.
And you'll see him in his pink hatted glory. Wesley's going to buy a pink hat. I'm not, because I've got no hair. I worry that people wouldn't realize that I was wearing a pink hat. They'd just think it was my head.
There is that. There is that.
So I'm not going to get a pink hat. But
I think you'd be
all
right.
Awesome.
I think you'd be all right. But anyway, no, it was good. He was good chat. And it's a good chat with Chad. And yes, lovely. I'm trying to sound as not professional as possible by waffling absolute bullshit.
Well, I'm going to say we look forward to seeing the series on YouTube from April 20th. Literally all you need to do is type in Top Vegan TV and it will come up.
Yeah.
If you've liked what you've heard, then please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, etc. Rate, like, subscribe, or send us an email.
Ask us some questions. Tell us how great we are, or alternatively, how rubbish we are.
Those ones, though, to be fair.
Yeah, we don't read them. They just go to the dog. Send us an email to howiveganpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. You're all stars, particularly David in Cardiff. You're a legend.
Yes. Hello, David in Cardiff. And Martin.
And Martin.
Of course.
And if you want a shout out, we'll
quite
all happily do.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
We'll do shout outs. Should we set up a cameo and get people to pay us for shout outs?
Ah, shall we? That'd be good. I'd like a happy birthday from Our Vegan Podcast. You're kidding.
Now, do I want Jet from Gladiators, or do I want those two bearded twats from How I Vegan podcast?
I don't know.
I'm off
choosing.
To set that up.
I'm off to I'm off to buy a pink hat.
Okay. Great to speak to you, mate.
See you next time, guys.
See you, bye.